Podcast, 104.1 FM KMOX. Happy Monday, a few minutes past 3 p.m. Gorgeous day out there. Going to be even better tomorrow. And that's when the cold snap comes in. Happy birthday once again to my son Nick, 31 years old today.
Happy birthday.
As well as Rob Zombie and Jeff Bezos.
Wow, the triumvirate.
The three guys you always think
that's
of.
That's a hell of a day right
together,
there.
Right? I have my.
You think Nick knows them?
You know who I share with Howard Stern and Rush Limbaugh.
Oh,
that's pretty weird.
Yeah.
Right?
Radio
guys.
It's a radio day.
Right?
Yeah, that's kind of crazy.
Yeah. I have my friends, colleagues, clients here from Bethesda Health, Jeff Waldman and Michelle Glass. Welcome to the studio. Great to get you guys in here.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. It's great to be here.
And you're an alum. I love this.
I don't know if you can call an alum.
Once you're in KMOX, you're always in KMOX.
Right. It was a few years ago when I did an internship in the sports department, but it's great to be here. That's when we were a little bit closer to the Mississippi River.
Yes. Yeah, Fred Bottomer walked by. He's like, who's that guy on the couch? He's like, I think I know that guy on the couch. So, yeah, and I remember you saying that about KMOX. So let's talk about Bethesda. And this is just a glamour shot. Whatever you guys want to talk about, everyone knows the story about my mom and No One Dies Alone and my connection with Bethesda. And I will say this, as a customer, as a client, I think one of the biggest problems we have right now, as you guys well know, is that people my age and Kevin's age, he's about 8 years younger than me, are dealing with parents who probably shouldn't be at home anymore. But those parents, when they were helping their parents into a facility, they weren't great. We all remember as kids going to a nursing home, and they were not great. And they just don't know that it's changed, right? Isn't that one of the biggest hurdles to get over?
Agreed. And I think what we have now versus what grandparents had is we have my area, which is our independent living communities. So independent living is basically an apartment full of other people your age, and we provide all the services that you need, so you don't have to mow the grass, you don't have to worry about what am I going to cook for dinner. Isolation is one of the biggest risks for seniors, and moving to an independent living community that feels like home, and it's connections. It's our world is all about connections, and we've done a phenomenal job of providing that for seniors. If they need more help, we bring it to them. If they can't stay independent, we have a plan for that. One of the things I'm proudest about in my 30 years at Bethesda is our ability to look at our seniors and say, here's where we are, where are we going, and how do we get them there?
Yeah.
So I'm very fortunate that I get to lead teams that do that.
And the way you guys do it, it can be done in such a way that it's not a surprise.
Agreed. Correct.
You know?
Yeah.
In fact,
yeah.
Ideally, it's not a surprise.
Yeah.
I mean, the idea is for people to start looking for an independent living community before they, quote unquote, need to go into an independent living community. I mean, take advantage of the opportunity to just see what's out there and make sure that, you know, you go in when you are active and when you're vibrant and you can take care of all, and you can take advantage of all the activities and you can do everything that you want to do.
Amen.
That's what that's really what the formula should be.
Grandma Glover, my mom, is a template for this. Because she was 75 when my dad passed away. She lived in that house by herself with, you know, we helped her out, but she lived by herself. So she totally could have been in an independent living place. She would talk incessantly about how lonely she was. And I'd say, well, Mom, there are places, and she'd shut it down, and I don't want to be around all those old people and such. And then once she got sick, she confided in me, I should have moved 20 years ago.
Right.
That was sad. That was hard to hear.
And I think people are still in, as you said, the mindset of it's a facility. It's a place I don't want to be. And, you know, nobody comes to independent living or comes on a tour going, I want to move to the nursing home. That's the next step. So the more education we can do, the more of a resource that we can be. And it's one of the things that people often reach out to Bethesda for is Mom and Dad are going through this or that. What can I do? What should I do? What do the terms mean? What's independent? What's assisted? Can I have something done at home? Because those are all legitimate questions. And one of the things I think we're very good at is not being the sales pitch, right? Listen, solve for the problem.
Mm-hmm.
People don't call us because they just want to chat. They call because they have a need. Our job is to figure out what that is and how do we fit it. And ideally, it's with us. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's this might be a better fit for you. And that's just part of what we do is the St. Louis community is provide the resource.
Yeah, when I went on my tour with you guys, we did three or four facilities, apartment buildings for the independent living, and it was great. As someone who is your spokesperson, it was even better as a 61-year-old guy to know that you're going to be okay. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not 40.
Right.
I'm closer to that than I am getting my first apartment.
Aren't we all?
And it made it. I took a big sigh of relief when I saw your place. It's like, oh, this is possible. And then at every one of them, it's like you guys set this up. I know you didn't, but at every one of them, one of the residents came to me, probably thinking I was moving in, and said, the people here are so nice. Oh my gosh, it's so great. I mean, wow. Yeah.
That is a consistent thing that happens in our communities. And again, it's that feeling of being at home. One of the terms in our industry is home-like, which I don't like at all. It shouldn't be home-like. It's your home, right? And so when people come in or they go to a tour, they often tour a couple of our communities. And I recently had lunch with a resident and she chose the building she chose because when she walked in, it felt like home. That's the greatest compliment anybody can give us is I'm comfortable here. I'm happy here. I trust you. I know your name. Now I know it fits.
Yeah.
And we've heard from other residents when we talk to them and they say, you know, we toured some other places too and we didn't really get that feel. And I think it's very important to when you walk in to be looking for that level of comfort, that level of security, that level of safety when you're walking in and making sure that people look happy. People are talking to each other.
Yes.
People are just having a good time. People are living their life.
We're talking to Jeff Waldman and Michelle Glass from Bethesda Health. If you're interested in any of the things that Bethesda does, you can go to BethesdaHealth.org/Glover. And can you talk? The places are beautiful. They really are. You did a great job with the outdoor facilities and the walking paths and the flowers and the gardens and such. But talk about the most important part, which are the people who work there, the people who work for you, because they were delightful.
I am extremely fortunate to have a group of individuals who are committed to what they do. They interact with tours and residents just as much as the rest of us. I have very long tenured team members, which is something you don't always get. You get a lot of turnover. We focus a lot on knowing the resident, who they are, what they need, if they haven't seen them recently. And again, it goes back to that feeling of home and feeling of community. Even the frontline team, they worry about people. If they're in the hospital, they may be off for the weekend. They might call to check and see, did Mary come home yet? That is not an unusual occurrence at all. They hug regularly. In senior living, we all have the same box. We all have activities. We all have dining. We all have, to your point, the walking paths and the pretty things. Again, the feeling and the connections, I think, is one of the things that sets us apart from so many other places out there.
If I were in the same situation today that I was in 25 years ago with my mom, being freshly widowed, and I know that it's the best for her to go somewhere like the independent living at Bethesda, but she's given me the wall. How much help can you give to a family in that situation?
We can give quite a lot of help. We often work with adult children and have exactly that scenario. Mom's hesitant, whatever it is. We'll find out from you what are the things that she used to do that she maybe misses. What are your goals? Sometimes the third party, being the professional, can come in and have the conversation. We've all done home visits, myself included, where we sit down with your mom, just have the conversation. A lot of times it's easier for us because you are the child, you know nothing. You are always going to be the child who knows nothing.
Yes.
Don't tell me what to do.
Yeah.
We can come in and just say, you know, maybe making this move would make Dave's life easier.
Mm-hmm.
he wouldn't worry so much about what's going on with you, because at the end of the day, most parents are going to take the cue to help their child. And so that's often a conversation that we have. If it's just, I'm not ready. There are, what's not ready? What aren't you ready for? Well, I want one more Christmas. Okay, well, what does one more Christmas look like? So again, years of doing this, this is not our first rodeo in this. This is your first time doing it. So reaching out to people who can give you guidance or support or just listen. Sometimes mm-hmm. the timing's not right. But again, it's connection, it's empathy, it's listening, all of those things.
I love that. That's a great answer. We were not going to get into cost, but I will say that as someone who just had my mom in one of the facilities and someone who's 20 years away from this, I was pleased that it's affordable.
Oh, absolutely.
Everyone's terrified of this.
Yeah.
Right?
That is probably the biggest question that terrifies people. That and do I have to give up my car? And one of the things we have, not to get detailed in pricing, but we offer multiple options. So again, that's a conversation that our team can have and find out where you are, what are your goals? And everyone has different financial goals, whether it's I have family or charities I want to make sure have money, or whether it's I'm just afraid to pull out this much money. We listen to that and explain what all the options are. And it's very simple to do. So it's just conversation.
That's great. BethesdaHealth.org/Glover. Any other contact numbers or websites or places for information that they should go? Can they call you directly? How do people go from here?
Absolutely. I would say the easiest thing to do is to call our corporate number, which is 314-800-1900. And that will get you our receptionist. The easiest way to get hold of me, if someone has questions about aging, is my email address, because I am tied to that with my little electronic leash. And that is mmglass. So Michelle, middle initial, also M, glass, G-L-A-S-S, at BethesdaHealth.org. You can also reach us through our website. We all have bios up there. There's a contact us button on the website. So if you're driving and couldn't write any of this down, contact us. We'll start the ball rolling.
Excellent. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
DGS, happy Monday to you. Do a little DGS happy hour?
Oh, sure.
Certainly.
Anyone got anything?
Got a couple stuffs.
I sound like Jack Buck there. Didn't even meet
you. You got anything? I got a question for the crew.
All right.
Is it ever okay to play your music out loud in public places, like when other people are around?
To the point that it bothers another person?
Because like, so as an the examples that were brought up, the main one was like people who bring their little Bluetooth speakers to the beach, as an example.
Yeah.
Or to like a gym. Where they don't want to wear headphones because it's, you know, it gets in the way or whatever. I don't know. It shouldn't. You just get wireless ones and you'll be fine. But there are people that will just play their Bluetooth speakers and in public places where people are near, and they get offended when people tell them, hey, you need to please turn that off. And I don't understand why you would think that's okay.
Yeah, I find it rude.
Yeah.
Yeah. To me, it's a really easy test. Now, if I'm, say, at Forest Park, and we're all sitting down by the Grand Basin, and I'm, you know, 50 feet away from you. You should be able to listen to your music at a level that you can hear it fine.
Right. And it's not disturbing other people.
I can tell your plan. I don't care if I can hear your music. I just want to be able to talk to whoever I'm with.
Right.
So that seems like a pretty bright line test to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Distance is what matters. Right. Some of the examples were like a gym where people are moving around and all that. Or like on a crowded beach when there are a lot of people. Like on a busy day, if you've ever been to the beach and you've got people that are within 10, 15 feet of you, please refrain. I think it's weird that we don't get that because we've never not gotten that in the past.
You know what bothers me the most, especially about the beach, is in my humble opinion, eyeballing the people who do it. It seems like it's 5% they want to hear music. And 95%, they want you to see how cool their system is.
I think there's a little bit of both. So on that note, Do you think people who violate things like that, or maybe people who use their speakerphone in public places, should they be fined?
Hmm.
Because there are fines for that in other parts of the world. Like, there's a story about a guy in France who was using his speakerphone in public transportation, and the person that came up there, that, you know, the security officer is like, well, you need to stop doing that, and he kind of blew it off, and they're like, all right, here you go, buddy. Here's a $200 ticket.
Hmm.
Because you're essentially because you're disturbing the peace.
I don't know that I'm ready to fine people who are talking on the speakerphone or talking to a Bluetooth. I personally find it annoying. And Rach sees me run out of the office all the time. If I have to take a phone call, I'm a speaker person. I don't like it up to my ear.
Oh, okay.
But I will go find a cubbyhole.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, nothing wrong with that. But don't do that while you're walking through the store.
Agreed.
And, you know, it's kind of annoying.
It's kind of creepy, too.
Yeah, but it's especially, like, does the other person know they're on speakerphone?
Yeah.
And that you're in a public place? Like, I don't know, man. There's some etiquette breaches there.
Rach, what you got?
Okay, so Golden Globes was last night. I only watched, like, a little bit of the monologue. I thought Nikki Glaser was very funny. But in the spirit of the Golden Globes, I've been kind of thinking about, like, celebrity gossip, celebrity news lately. From time to time, I'll do a celebrity gossip segment on the show. But lately, I don't know, something will come up in my feed and it'll be like Kylie Jenner and Timothy Chalamet, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, when I really examine what's going on, I don't care at all. Like, I really don't care. However, for some reason, that stuff sticks in my brain. I am able to remember and recall every detail about a celebrity gossip story. And, you know, just someone will be on TV. Oh, who's that? I know who the celebrity, I know their name. I know who they dated 5 years ago. Why is it that my brain is holding on to that information so much? And then, like, important things, I'm like, I can't remember. Why is it like that? Why does it have to be like that?
The eternal question. I would be so good at math if my head weren't filled with Gilligan's Island episodes.
I was going to say, for me, it's not celebrity news. It's sports stuff.
See, I am where Rachel is, only farther down the road of not giving a rat's ass about celebrity. But I just assumed it was my age.
It's not even that I'm like, I don't even mean it in a negative way. Like, get out of my life. I don't care about you. It's just when I really examine how I actually feel.
Yeah.
If I never gathered any more information on any of these people, it doesn't really affect my life in any way.
Yeah.
And yet, when I am scrolling, I'm like, oh, wait, what did Timothy Chalamet do again? What was Kylie wearing?
You remember the days. I know you hate me, but I'll ask anyway.
Welcome back, guys. DGS 334. Go to Sleep says, holy crap, this day flew by. I agree.
The day's only half over here. Showing pretty quick
so far.
See, it has gone fast.
Dave Murray, not only one of my favorite people in the world, but Dave is, what's my analogy? I'm thinking of a driving analogy. Dave is Kansas City when I am driving to Lawrence, Kansas. I'm almost there.
I get you.
So when I see Dave's smiling face, I'm like,
so for us, it's
bingo.
He's the Wally's on the way to Chicago.
There you go.
You've made some ground up. It's a good stop.
Yeah.
But I just can't drive 55.
Nor can I. Funny.
So gorgeous day today, Dave.
Yeah. This is an interesting week coming up. No big storms. We'll get that out of the way. But there's three things that we're dealing with. One is a warm-up. We started it today. We'll get through it tomorrow. Then there's two cold fronts on the way. So let's break this all down. Tomorrow is the warmest day of the week, 59 for the high. Gets a little windy in the afternoon, a south wind. That's what's in play right now. 67 is the record tomorrow. So we're not even close to that. That's from 1952. A lot of clouds start to build back in Tuesday night. Wednesday, the first cold front comes in. And Wednesday is, that front is kind of the preview of the Big Brother cold front that's coming. So lots of clouds on Wednesday. Windy. The winds will swing to the northwest. It's colder. I think we have to look at the whole day Wednesday in the 30s, but low 30s by late in the day. Front's coming through dry. Wednesday night, we're down to 18. Thursday, sunny, but it's only 32. Now, Friday, here comes the second front. we're ahead of it most of the day. Partly sunny skies, windy from the south for a while. We should hit a high of 42 on Friday. Then the front comes through, winds swing to the northwest, dropping temperatures during the mid to late afternoon hours. Could be a couple of snow flurries late Friday into Friday evening. And that sets us up for temperatures, high temperatures in the 20s on Saturday and Sunday. So there's a lot going on, but it's mainly dry. But all of this is mainly a dry weather pattern, which is kind of typical when you get this strong northwest flow, strong Arctic cold that starts to drop in. We'll have to keep an eye on it. Northwest flow, never trust it. Have to see if a southwest storm pulls together, but there are no signs of that at all. There is a giant high-pressure system over the western United States, so nothing's going to get going there. So it's colder, but it's dry. How long does the cold last after Sunday? Not sure of that yet. Not sure of that yet.
Dave, have we been or are we in any trouble the next couple of days of like trees being damaged from budding out and bugs and things like this?
No, I think we've had enough swings to stop that from really happening. You'll see some, you know, tomorrow you might see some, you know, flies kind of thing hatch, do a quick hatch, and then the cold knocks them out. So no, I'm not worried about that yet.
Every fly has a crappy life. Right?
Or a beautiful life.
But yeah, the ones who are born now, they're like, hey, here we go. And then boom, there's a cold front and you're dead.
Yeah, but think of what their purpose is. I mean, they get to eat and do other things and then they're dead.
That's the thing, though, is to them, maybe that time feels like forever.
That's a good point.
They move so fast.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would prefer you not do that again.
You didn't like the little
I didn't like the look on your face. I feel like it was my first night in Shawshank.
What if the fly was starring Kevin Wheeler instead of Jeff Goldblum?
Oh, yeah. Man, a lot less pregnant pauses, I can tell you that.
Way more action.
A little more yelling. I'm a fly! Plus, I'd spend the movie.
What the hell is this fly talking about?
I'd just spend the movie with my arms like this going.
Big, giant, buff fly.
That is a movie that kind of sticks with you, though. At least it does with me.
Yes, it does. Oh, my gosh, yes. Especially as a kid, yeah. The Vincent Price one, that was terrifying. Headlines, Rach?
Headlines is brought to you by Schnucks. Reward yourself daily with the Schnucks Rewards app. So bad news. The CDC says that flu activity probably has not peaked yet, and we're seeing a record-breaking season. So about 40,000 people were admitted to the hospital with the flu during the week ending January 3rd, so week before last. Overall, there were about 12 flu hospitalizations for every 100,000 people in the U.S. last week. So some of those indicators have fallen, but that doesn't necessarily mean the season has reached its peak. This downtick could be to changes in healthcare seeking or reporting during the holidays. We may see some more increases in flu cases in the weeks ahead. So stay woke, people. Don't let the flu get you.
Man, I don't want it. After having this thing that I've had for the past 15 days, which is not the flu, I don't want anything else. No flu.
No, thank you.
Please.
Mortgage rates on Friday fell below 6% for the first time in years. This was after the president ordered his representatives to begin buying $200 billion worth of mortgage bonds. So this is part of his push to lower costs for Americans grappling with the high cost of living. But as of Friday, rates for the average 30-year mortgage have now fallen more than 1% in the last year. 15-year fixed-rate mortgage also dropped significantly on Friday, falling to 5.55%. This is the lowest, the 30-year average, anyway, has been since February of 2023.
I'm confused. Because I don't know anything about what I'm going to ask about. But if the government is buying bonds to do stuff, isn't that our money anyway? Isn't that coming from?
Yeah.
Okay, so we're taking our money and we're not using it on things that are other things, but we're using it on this. Are we going to pay some price for that? I know that's a totally dumb guy question asking about a thing I don't understand
fully. No, I think it's a smart guy question. You're just with dumb people.
It's like, okay, like it's from the same money that we're getting from the taxpayers. Why am I saying that like Bill Cosby? And we're just moving stuff around to make it do different things. But is it going to, in the end, is it's all still our money?
You're buying down the interest rates.
See, I can't answer this question because the president didn't specify who those representatives are, when or how these purchases will happen, and whether he can do this without congressional backing. All I know is the mortgage rates are down.
Did you guys see?
There you go.
I promised my boss I wouldn't talk about Trump today, but did you see that the DOJ has announced criminal investigation into
Jerome Powell.
And Powell came out first time, because the Fed has always been very, to me, shadowy and like it's independent and it's this and it's that and it's in St. Louis.
It's meant to be independent.
Yeah, it's meant to be. But the Fed chairman rarely says much. And he posted about a 15-minute TikTok yesterday where he just took the Trump administration on line by line. It was really something.
Yeah, apparently all of the living former Fed chairmen have also signed on to something. They put out a public letter saying this is stupid or something.
And he only has 5 months left to go. Come on, dude.
Let's see. A recent Wallet Hub study shows some of the best U.S. cities to find job openings if you're looking for a job. And St. Louis is on the list. So according to this study from Wallet Hub, the number one city with the most job openings is Pittsburgh. Then we have Columbia, South Carolina, Orlando, Florida, and St. Louis comes in at number four. Richmond, Virginia rounds out the list at number five. 15,000 nurses have walked off the job in New York City after negotiations through the weekend failed to yield breakthroughs in their contract disputes. This is obviously a pretty big deal. But hospitals involved have been hiring temporary nurses to try and fill this labor gap, and they say they're going to do whatever is necessary to minimize disruptions. But I don't know. I say give the nurses what they want. They're very important people. No, let's keep them happy.
No kidding.
A judge orders a hearing on if Luigi Mangione's backpack was lawfully searched during his arrest. So the judge overseeing Mangione's federal trial today ordered this hearing to determine whether or not that backpack was legally searched when he was arrested at a McDonald's in December of 2024. So that'll be interesting to see how that plays out.
It's been a while since I can remember a case where probably the OJ trial, where something evidentiary like that was kept out, like a movie, like a big, like, aha, you forgot to Mirandize me. Like, I'm sure it happens every day, but in big cases, I can't remember the last time that happened. I think it could happen on this one. I'm no expert on the facts of this case, but from the small amount I've read, if you get a ballsy judge, the judge could throw that out.
Meta has blocked 550,000 accounts under Australia's social media ban for teens. So in December, this new law began requiring that social media sites, including Instagram and Facebook, stop Australians under the age of 16 from having accounts on their platform. So we now see this going into effect. Meta says it blocked over 300,000 accounts on Instagram, over 100,000 on Facebook, about 40,000 on Threads during its first week of compliance with the new law. So Meta is also arguing that age verification should be happening at an app store level, because I guess they don't want to bear the responsibility for policing this. Mm-hmm. And they also say exemptions for parental approval should be created. This is a really interesting story to me because I don't think it's just like, oh, it's banned and it's done. I think we're going to see a lot of different things play out. And I also don't think it's the only country that's going to take a move like this in the next couple of years. Muhammad Ali is going to be honored with a commemorative U.S. postage stamp.
Nice.
Yeah, it's very cool. This is the first time he's being honored. And once he joked that he should be a postage stamp because, quote, that's the only way I'll ever get licked.
Couldn't see that coming at all.
Always, he's always got a line, man. Yeah.
One more story for you guys. Melania Trump's film is going to premiere at the Kennedy Center on January 29th. I have seen a ton of commercials for this, like when I'm watching stuff on Amazon. It's just called Melania. It's a documentary about, it looks like leading up to the 2024 election is the main thing that they focus on. So it'll be streaming on Amazon.
Like made by Melania? Her people?
Alongside Melania, yes. Okay. I don't know if it was like her assistant filming or whatever, but she's definitely very much a part of the process. Actually, I think the director is Braz. He's some well-known person. He's slipping my mind.
Braz, huh?
Is it Braz?
Braz himself?
Famous director Braz.
There is a famous director named Boz.
It's not him.
Not Baz Luhrmann.
It's like Brett Ratner.
Oh, Ratner. Yeah, Brett Ratner is a documentarian, yeah.
Yeah, there we go. He's director.
He's a documentarian?
Or as we call him, Raz.
Wheels full of beans today.
That's the SpongeBob shirt, I think.
Thank you, Dave.
All right, watch out for monkeys.
I'm going to play some sound here for you. Wheels, you know better than me what this is, but the Jaguars lost over the weekend, and the coach was doing a press conference, and typically it's pretty pointed, if not accusatory, questions, and this one was very different. I want to get Rachel's reaction and yours. Go ahead.
You hold your head up, all right? You guys have had a most magnificent season.
Thank you.
You did a great job out there today.
Appreciate
so you just hold your head up, okay?
Thanks,
and ladies
ma'am.
And gentlemen, Duval, you the one, all
Thank
right?
You
keep it going. We got another season, okay?
I appreciate
Take
it.
Take care and much continued success to you and the entire team.
Thank you, ma'am.
Rach, what do you think?
That's nice.
Very sweet.
Yeah, it's a really nice thing to say.
Right? A lot of people don't like it.
Why?
Yeah, because you don't say that at a press conference. You cover the team.
She You're supposed to cover them in love.
A press conference is asking a question and getting an answer. It's not telling the coach you love him. This is, I mean,
the
imagine,
question is, do you know you're
imagine,
loved?
Imagine if I did that at a Cardinals press conference.
Yeah, what if the question was, does anyone here love
imagine
me?
Imagine if I went to like, and it's a post game and Ollie Marmol's doing his thing, and I said, listen, Ollie, you know what? You, just forget all the haters. You guys did a great job this year. You're the man.
Then maybe the world would be a better place.
People would run me out of town, and rightfully so. It's not the place for it. It's just not. You want to do that off to the side? It's okay. There are people have different relationships with different people that they cover. I've had relationships with people that I covered that were not just question and answer, where you could say, "Hey, man, don't worry about that," or "Hey, good job," or "Don't let any other stuff get to you." There are places to do that.
So you think she should have thrown a bag full of dog poop at him?
I think she should have either asked a question or not said anything.
Should she not be there?
I don't know. She's a legitimate reporter. She works for an outlet in Jacksonville. Her name is Lynn Jones. But
doxing.
You no, it's all over the place, man. She's wearing a credential, dude.
123 Maple Street.
I know, I'm kidding.
But get her.
Your job in that setting is to ask questions to get information. It is not a statement. I would say the same thing, by the way, if somebody stood up and yelled at him and said, that was the stupidest thing I've ever seen. Not your job. Your job is to ask a question. Your job is not to state your opinion. That screws up journalism. That screws up that's the whole point is that we ask them questions and they tell us. It's not to make them feel better or worse. It's not, we get yelled at all the time for people like, why don't you guys yell at them and hold them accountable? Because it's not the job. The job is to ask the question. And then we provide the context around it, whether it's a written story, a talk show segment, a TV interview, whatever. I mean, like, that's not the job. I'm sorry, like it's. I know people like it when it makes them feel good. Either this makes you happy, or seeing a coach get yelled at for doing something stupid will make you feel better. That's not the job.
So you can see it both ways. Okay,
yeah, yep. No, it's not the job. It can be a nice thing, and a friendly thing, and something she could have conveyed privately. That's fine. That is not the spot for it. That is unprofessional.